This morning, I want to share with you a model of Christian living that I suggest might be helpful to us to prepare us for times of trials. Good, better, best. Three ways in which we can be prepared to seek God's leading with joy through the tough times. In March this year, a few months ago now, my daughter was getting married. Our daughter, I should say, was getting married. She's the eldest in our family, but not the first to get married. Our youngest daughter got married, it must be about 18 months ago now. Now it was the eldest daughter, and I really didn't want her to go, but that's another story, I'm not going there. But back in March, a week before her wedding, my son-in-law-to-be decided, I've got a great idea. I want to go kayaking for my birthday, 1 week before their wedding. Are you sure? Do you think this is a really good idea? Yes, they said. It'll be fine, they said. Come along, you'll have fun. I went, really? Okay. And so we did. We went up to Warrandyte and we started off at Warrandyte, and Mandy and Declan had got a two-person kayak and Mark and I borrowed a couple of other kayaks and off we went. I am not a kayaker. Just thought I'd let you know. We're going along the river. The river's a bit low because there's not as much water at that time of the year, and we kept bumping into a few rocks and fallen trees and so on. But I was following behind Mandy and Declan. So I figured, well, if they hit a tree or something, I'll just go around. Sweet, that worked for a little while. Until we went through a few rapids and that was semi-okay. But then Mandy turns around and goes, Mum, the next set of rapids are the worst. But then you'll be fine. And you'll be right, Mum. You'll handle it. I wasn't quite so confident. However, she said, you'll be right. So I followed them, and then they disappeared around a corner. And by the time I got to that corner, they had already gone through the rapids. So I didn't actually get to see which path they took. So I went, okay, I can do this. And as I approached, I'm paddling away, approaching the wall of rocks, and just went, oh my goodness, it's just a wall. There is no way through. What on earth did they do? I know. I'll let the river take me. So the river kind of was going off to the right, so I went to the right. I should have gone left. Because before I knew it, my kayak had gone up against the rocks, flipped sideways, the water was pouring in, and it sunk. And I'm sitting on the bottom, on a whole pile of rocks at the bottom. It's only up to my waist, but you know. And I'm going, oh my goodness, I'm going to die right before the wedding. That's not good. And then I went, oh, don't be ridiculous. You're sitting in waist deep water. You're not going to die. Oh no, I'm going to be bruised and scratched. Don't be ridiculous. You'll be okay. What are you going to do? I'll get out of the kayak. So there I am, standing on super slippery rocks in the middle of the rapids with the water pouring down and going, I can't actually budge this kayak. What am I going to do? Right at that moment, a woman was coming down, climbing over the rocks, and she was dragging along behind her a deflated pink flamingo. She had been floating down the river and it had become punctured. And she came up to me and she looked at my kayak and she goes, your kayak's full of water. Actually, she didn't say that. She actually said a whole string of expletives, but I thought I might just interpret it for you this morning. Basically, she was saying it's full of water. And with that, she helped me and we picked it up on its side, emptied half the water out, she let go, and off she went. Good luck, she said. I'm left looking at it going, well, if I get in that thing, it's just going to go down again. I'm signalling to Mandy and Declan down the river. Now, Declan is a wise, very wise young man. he gets out of his kayak and he climbs over all the rocks to come and help his very soon-to-be mother-in-law. Smart boy. He comes over, he's quite strong, picks up my kayak, pulls it up onto the rocks, empties out the water, puts it back in the river, and goes, right, Kathy, get back in. Declan, do you reckon there's another way out of here? No, Kathy, you need to get back in. Declan, you don't understand. I really don't want to go down those rapids. Kathy, the only way through is to go through the rapids. And by the way, that really steep section over there, that's the best bit. And with that, he gave me a push. My kayak started going off course. He pushed me again. I went straight, paddling away, crazy, to that steep bit, and down I went. It was a little bumpy. Hit a few rocks along the way. Bit of a, you know, twist as you go through. And I got through. Turned round, Mark comes just sailing through as though, you know, the river's completely full of water and there are no rapids at all. A few days later, I was telling a friend of mine, and I said, oh, I've got this story. And I started to tell her about this story. And she said, you know what, you really need to take notice of that, Kathy, because that was prophetic. Sure enough, a couple of days later, I get a phone call from my brother. Dad's on the way to hospital. He's in an ambulance. He's really unwell. You need to meet us at the hospital. So we all traipse in, gather around his bedside, and I just look at him, and all the emotions of the stress of a wedding, my dad being really sick, all of that all came out, and I felt like my kayak was up against those rocks. The water was pouring in, and there was nothing I could do about it. But the story didn't end there. We had a wedding, but we had two more family members end up in hospital. I had a youth camp for a weekend. We had all sorts of things were going on. My dad ended up having an operation. He ended up going into cardiac arrest and having CPR and all sorts of things. Thankfully, he's still with us, but he's not great. And to top it off, we're in the middle of trying to work out how to close Sandringham Baptist Church and plant a new church. Talk about trials and turbulence. I wonder what it's like for you. I wonder if you have been through trials and turbulence, or perhaps you're going through it now. The author of our text today, James, had something to say to the early Christians who were also facing trial and turbulence, because these were Jewish Christians that had, following the stoning of Stephen, had scattered. And they were facing opposition to their faith. They were facing difficult times economically. And James writes to them and he calls them the 12 tribes. And just in that really brief moment, he says to them, in that very short phrase, it's capturing a lot more. He's going like, remember your heritage way back, you're Jewish Christians. Remember your heritage. Remember you are God's people. Remember you are actually part, even though you're scattered, you're still part of us. You're still part of the church. There are still people who care deeply about you. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. This word for trials that James is talking about is one that you get this sense of being encircled by trials. Trials are coming at them from all angles, and it just feels like there is no way out. And you know what? Trials don't usually come when we're all good. They usually come when we're tired, emotional, or it's an inconvenient time. That's when the trials normally come, or so I found. Not if, but when, James says. None of us enjoy a trial, I'm sure. Most of us would actively work against them. But as a society, I think we like our comfort. We really work hard at not going through trials. And so we eliminate all that's inconvenient, all that causes us hurt, all that's frustrating. When marriages hit a rock, so often people don't try and work through it. They give up, they bail. When jobs get hard or colleagues are, you know, a bit difficult, or the client isn't a great client, people start looking for another job. There's got to be a better place out there who like me better. If we find that we hate going to the shops because actually we can't be bothered standing in the queue, then we start turning to online grocery shopping. And when we can't be bothered cooking, we order Uber Eats and our Big Mac and fries turn up at the front door. But James says, in God's economy, trials actually help us to build strength of character and of faith. I don't think James is glossing over what a trial is. I think he gets it, because his own half-brother, Jesus, is the one that was on that cross. Dying, pain, sweat, tears. But James makes this curious comment, because he goes, consider it pure joy. Now, earlier this year, when I was going through those trials, I can assure you, joy was not my thing. Joy was not the thing that kind of hit me in the face and go, oh, wow, joy. I was just trying to get through every day. I was just trying to make sure that, you know, church still happened on Sunday and, you know, my family still got fed and I still was managing a shower each morning and stuff like that. You know, pretty basic stuff here. There was nothing I could do to change my situation. I also found it really hard to pray more than this. Lord, I don't know how to pray today, but I trust that you will keep my head above the water and won't let me drown. I choose to believe that you have all of this in your hands and you will carry me through. And then I talked to a few people and they prayed, and I assure you, it was the prayers of the people, together with my own very simple prayer, that I felt God was carrying me through that time, holding me in that time. And I think the joy is, it's not a happiness, it's not a, you know, put a smile on your face and you'll be right. It's a deep, deep sense of God's got this. He's holding you up, and there is a joy in that. I believe that James is not talking about happiness in trials, because that just doesn't make sense to me. But I do believe he is saying, look on those trials as times for joyfully knowing that at the end God is doing something in you. God doesn't leave us where he finds us. He wants us to mature. He's doing things to make sure that we keep growing in love and faith and compassion and kindness and all those things that matter to God. Trials themselves won't bring about maturity. If you're going through a trial and you just hang on and, you know, you're whinging about it, that's not going to bring you to maturity. It's about acknowledging God's presence in the process and going, you know what, God, I can't do this without you, and trusting God to bring us through so that we will become mature and complete, not lacking anything. The dictionary defines perseverance as persistence in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. I changed schools in year 11. And when I hit my new high school, I went, oh my goodness me, I didn't know this stuff existed. You guys are just so far ahead of me, I don't even know what you're talking about. And I ended up failing and had to repeat the year in the same school. And I assure you, there is nothing harder than having to repeat in a school when all your friends go on and so many of your peers start saying, you're not welcome here into the year 12 space, or you're not welcome to be part of us anymore because you've had to repeat. So hard when you're a teenager. When I was studying nursing, second year nursing, I failed again. I set the exam, failed it, sat a supplementary exam, failed that, repeated the whole year, sat another exam, failed that, sat the supplementary, failed that. Went before the Board of Examiners. They said, why do you really want to be here? Surely, you know, maybe you're not meant to be a nurse. Pleaded my case, sat, they said, okay, you can sit another exam. And my examiner came along beside me, my lecturer, and she said, you know what, you know this stuff. I know you know this stuff. Just take a deep breath, relax, you can do this. And she kind of talked me into believing in myself again, and I passed. And she goes, you know what, you actually passed really, really well. You knew this stuff. I can assure you, it would have been so much easier to quit. So much easier not to go back again and again and again and again. I could have said, you know what, I think God's telling me I shouldn't be nursing. But actually, it was about me not applying myself in the very first instance and being distracted and doing other things. But then it became about my anxieties and stress and not being able to do things and not being able to concentrate and so on. Did God bring that on me? No. No, that was my own doing. That was my own not applying myself in the very first case. But God did use that. And he's used it to build my character, to help strengthen me, not to give up when things get hard. Because he knew that I needed my faith to be strengthened. I had to learn to trust him in the midst of all of that, because I couldn't get through all of that on my own. I needed God to be there with me. Sandringham Baptist Church closed in May this year. It was not an easy decision for us. It caused a lot of grieving, and that was just me, let alone the people that had been there for a long time. And it was a long process of discerning that whether this was actually what God was wanting us to do. And at the same time, we were planting a new church, Sandy Life, with its focus on youth and families. And there were many moments where I just thought, oh, this is too hard. I can't do this. And I had to intentionally push through, persevere, and trust that God has got this, because I tell you, the situation at times just looked ridiculous. Just impossible. And the stories I could tell you about sewage overflowing and goodness knows what else, there was lots of reasons why it would have been easier to close. And for me personally, it would have been so much easier just to come along to another person's church and sit in a pew and sing some songs. And by the way, they were beautiful. But just singing some songs and listening to someone else speak and then go home and do nothing. That would have been so much easier for me. But James is pretty clear. He goes, that's not going to bring you to maturity. We need to persevere. But we need God's wisdom in doing that, to know what to do. And wisdom is sometimes confused with knowledge. Knowledge involves information and facts, but wisdom is understanding how we can use those facts to live better, to care for one another better, to encourage and help one another to grow to maturity. Wisdom is to know whether we are able to persevere in something or whether we're actually called to stop something. In my case, the answer was I had to keep going, but I needed God's wisdom to know that. Because human wisdom would have just gone, you know what, that nursing thing, you better stop now because it's not going to happen. God's wisdom's a little different. God wants to give us abundant wisdom. He's a God of abundance. And he will do so without finding fault. And you know what, I reckon that's the best bit. that I can keep going back to God and going, you know what, I need that bit more wisdom again. And he doesn't go, you know what, you asked for that last week, why are you asking me again? He just goes, yeah, I'll give you more. I'll give you more. So what might a good, better, best model of being prepared for times of trials look like? Well, good. I think it's good to be serious about our faith. We need to start building up our spiritual stamina and resilience. It's not about sitting back and waiting passively for God to do it for us. We can be actively involved in the preparation for the times where we will face struggles so that we can be in peak condition. So what do? Well, we can spend time in God's word, receive spiritual nourishing. We can reflect on the movement of God in our day. Where's God? What draws you close to God? What actually pulls you away from God? And finding somebody to hold us accountable in that. I find that is a really helpful thing for that person to kind of keep asking me the questions. How are you going? How are you going with your prayer life? What does that look like? Where are you seeing God in your day? Where are you not seeing God in your day? Better. We are part of a community of believers. And so we need to be actively supporting one another. When we allow our faith to be tested and we share that with other people, it can actually bring comfort and encouragement to others who might also be facing some hard times. You know, the stats from the National Church Life Survey suggest something like people go to church 1 in 4 weeks now, on average. I think that's really sad. Of course, there's some very real reasons why people don't turn up to church every week. You know, there's sickness, I get that. There's frailty. People go on holidays. People have special events. That's all normal and part of life. But regular attendance at church and small groups, even when we don't feel like it, especially when we don't feel like it, we need that. We need to push through because that actually encourages others in the community. And as we observe and participate in worship together, we listen and we grow and we build one another up. But best of all, James was a big man of faith and action. Knowledge is important, but even better is spiritual maturity, which requires us to put wisdom, which is that knowledge, into action. When we allow our faith to be tested, we increase our dependence on God for wisdom, so that we can be used to lead productive lives. God wants us to endure in our faith because he has a purpose for our lives. He wants us to be doing things for his kingdom, to bring in his kingdom. And he doesn't want us to give up just because we've hit a few rocks and it seems too hard. In Proverbs 3, Solomon writes that we are not to lean into our own understanding, but to trust in the Lord. And perhaps for some of you, you may have been trying to do things in your own strength for too long. Perhaps you've not asked God for his wisdom because maybe you've thought your way is better, or maybe you've just not even thought about it. Or maybe you thought, well, I asked last week and, you know, I can't really go back again because I didn't do what I was meant to do. James tells us that the way to maturity is to be empowered through God's wisdom, to seek and to ask God. Surrender your will to God's will. It's not about being a robot and just giving up, you know, everything, but it's to acknowledge that God's way is actually better than ours. There was a better way for me in that river than the way I chose. There's a better way in our lives. and that's God's way. James's letter encourages all Christians to not only find ways for their faith to endure in times of trial, but to support and encourage one another, build each other up, and together find a way into spiritual maturity. Let's pray. Father God, you did not make us to crumble, but that we would have victory.